At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Karen Stanley and Blanchard Sheeta.
Thank you, Elijah. Greetings, everyone. My name, again, is Karen Stanley.
And I'm Blanchard Sheeta.
And we are both with MQ Support, and today we're going to discuss several of the common terms and their meanings in regards to data conversion, particularly with WebSphere MQ. You'll notice in your handout that it's a, if you do have a handout, but the presentation is available online, as Elijah said, and there are going to be several useful links and tools and also documentation that we recommend regarding data conversion, and list also several of the tech notes. We may not get to each one of those, but we wanted to make sure you had that information. So if we could turn to slide number one, please. Slide number two, thank you. And this will go, or this is our agenda for today. We will have questions and answers toward the end, so if you have a particular issue or concern that we haven't addressed with the customer scenarios that we go through, we'll be happy, more than happy, to address that for you. So I'll turn it over to Blanche right now, and we'll begin with terms and definitions.
Okay.
Slide three, please.
Okay. These are terms and that we use as far as data conversion for WebSphere MQ, and I'm just going to go over a few of the definitions that we'll be using. Now, character set is a defined set of characters, and basically it's used on the term is used more on the distributed platform. And the code page, again, is a table that will map out data representations for different characters and alpha characters as well. We can go to slide four. Okay, the code point is basically an actual location on a code page that defines a character. And CCSID also is the term that within IBM and on the mainframe and on iSeries, we will use the term CCSID. And you'll see it throughout the presentation that we sort of go between CCSID and code page. And use it synonymously. We can go to slide five. And these are, again, definitions as far as ASCII, EBCDIC, Unicode, single byte character set, and double byte character set. And ASCII is tends to be, again, on the distributed platforms, and EBCDIC is on the ZOS, iSeries, and VSE. In this presentation, I mean, we have Unicode here, but we're not going into any details for Unicode, because that would be it's a presentation in itself as far as Unicode is. So we decided that we would stay, because this is a beginner level presentation, so we're basically sticking with the ASCII and EBCDIC. Go to slide six. The message descriptor, this NQMD, is a structure that contains the control information that accompanies your application data, and so and it's the header that we use. And it's not entirely character data, so some of it will be converted. The things that are not converted are message ID, coral ID, and accounting token are not converted, because you may need those for your application, so we don't do any data conversion there. Go to slide seven. This is the structure itself. I don't have the offsets. I just have the written WebSphere MQ message header. And difficult to see on here, but I do have just the highlighted. The encoding coded character set ID and format will be the POMs that we look at today as far as the NQMD message descriptor. Now, for information on the NQMD, that you can find the information in the application programming reference, and there will be a complete description of all the fields in the header. Go to slide eight. And this is just the second half of the WebSphere MQ MD, and it's just here for your information. And again, if you need more information, it's in the application programming reference. go to slide 9. This is the MQMD, and I don't have the complete MD on this slide. It's just the, again, the fields that we're going to be interested in today as far as the just the header, the MD, and the encoding fields and the coded character set field and the format field. And again, there are two parts to the message, and the MQMD is the information that WebSphere MQ needs to know what to do with the application data that follows. And the two formats here that I have are when you browse a message or if you, you know, see the information in trace, you can see it in the, either one of these formats. And we can go to slide 10. Okay, encoding. Again, encoding is usually represents numeric data. And the thing that we're going to be concerned about, not so much about floating point or that we would be interested in the encoding as far as Little Endian and Big Endian and as far as MQ data conversion. And Little Endian is on, you know, the Intel processors, and Big Endian are on the mainframe. And others. In the next slide, and we'll talk about the different platforms and what if they're Little Endian or Big Endian. But the slide here, you'll see the example of for 437. It's represented as a Baker Fox 01, and on the Big Endian, it's a 01 Baker Fox. And so we refer to this as byte swap. We go to slide 11. And this was just is information for as far as the encoding schemes by platform. And the reason we have this here is when you're doing data conversion or looking at data across in a trace, that it, you know, it's important to know if you're doing a byte swap, because it'll make a difference on what you're looking at, and it comes in handy when you're for example, looking at information in the dead letter queue as far as a dead letter header. It will also give you information if you need to do byte swap. If we go to slide 12, okay, now the coded character set ID, the CCS ID, it's one of the as far as data conversion, it's very important that we have this information correct on the what CCS ID is being used, and when Karen goes through some of the scenarios we have, it'll make that a little clearer. But again, it's what's used as far as the default CCS ID. We'll use that for the queue manager CCS ID if you don't explicitly put it in your MQMD when you do the MQ put. And also it's going to be used when we do the channel option convert equals yes, that we'll use the queue manager CCS ID. And to display the queue manager CCS ID, if you're not sure what your queue manager is, there's a display queue manager command, and for the distributed products and for iSeries, it's under the, it's just the run MQSC command. Go to slide 13. And these are the fairly common CCS IDs that we see here. When customers call in with problems, 437, again, is, you know, the ASCII code page, 850, we see 819 tends to be the Unix CCS ID that we see. And on the mainframe, 500 is the default. And on CCS ID 37 is used on iSeries and BSE. No, I'm sorry. BSE has changed to 1047. 14. Slide 14. Okay, the next field in the MQMD that we're interested in is the format field. And this will indicate to the receiving side of the receiving application on what format that we should expect the rest of the data to be in. And again, there's information about the format can be found also in the WebSphere MQ application programming guide and the reference.
Okay.
The thing that I'd like you to know here and on the next slide is that the slide 15, I've highlighted the two, a common problem that we see, and again we'll cover this in a scenario, is the default is MQFMT_none. And in order for data conversion to take place, if it's just strictly character data, then we need to have MQFMT_string. And if you don't have the MQFMT string, then we won't automatically do data conversion for you because we don't know what you want us to do with that data. Oh.
Okay. There's a lot.
Okay. Okay, Karen. I'll get it.
So we'll now go into customer scenarios. Slide 16, please. We have several scenarios here for you, and again, I hope that the ones that we've chosen will give everybody a pretty good feel. We know everybody's environment is pretty different. So the first scenario here was an iSeries sender channel which wanted to communicate with a VSE receiver. And you'll see from the slides I've given you what level of MQ, if it was known, also the level of the operating system, and what the CSID setting was for the queue manager. And another important bit of information that we'd like to know about the sender channel is if convert yes is specified on the definition. In this particular scenario, at the time the customer reported the problem, they could not get the sender channel to go into running status with the VSE receiver. The message that they received was an AMQ 9541, and basically it said that the CSID was not supported. You'll notice in the slide that the queue manager CSID for VSE was 1047. At the time of this problem, 1047 was not supported on the iSeries operating system. Now, the failure was not due to the application data or the user data. It was due to the fact that the channels actually communicate and talk with each other to determine, can you handle this conversion? Or if I can't handle it, you know, the receiver says, well, I can handle it. Well, in this case, the sender on the iSeries said, I don't know what a 1047 is, so I am not going to run. It has nothing to do with the sender channel convert option being set to yes or no. This is all happening in our internal, what we call our TSH flow, our initial data, to see if we can handle the conversion. If you go to slide 17, please. A few months ago, we worked with the Rochester support team, and now on the iSeries platform, CSID 1047 is now supported, so this issue has been completely resolved. And while they were at it, they've added several other CSIDs here that you can see in the 5,000 range, which a lot of our customers in Asia will have gotten some additional CSID support. So if you're on the iSeries platform and you use VSE, whether or not you use VSE, but you wish to have these other CSIDs for your 5.3 or 5.4 operating system, here are the PTF numbers of what you need to download. Slide number 18, please. Our next scenario is, again, iSeries sender communicating with a mainframe, in this case VOS. They're both 5.3. The queue manager for the iSeries is 37, and the queue manager for the ZOS is 5026, which in this case is Japan. The channels, in this case, also did not wish to go into running. The sender channel would remain in retrying status, and what we would get was an AMQ 9503 saying that the negotiation between the channels would fail. What in this case, again, the initial data could not handle going between 37 and 5026. This particular customer, even though there are so many different CSIDs, CSID support is not handled within the MQ product itself. Otherwise, MQ would have hundreds and hundreds of different conversion tables within the product. What we depend on is the operating system to be able to have all the tables that are needed for conversion. So, for example, on the iSeries platform, if you're familiar with that platform and you do a work table command, you'll notice that you have all these different data conversion tables, ASCII to EBCDIC, EBCDIC to ASCII, are the different numbers. But in actuality, as of 5.2 operating system, I believe, and I discussed this with Rochester, they don't use those tables anymore. They exist mainly for legacy code, old OPM, the original program model. Everything regarding the conversion tables is now integrated into the operating system. So for iSeries, the mainframe, or DOS, even Windows, AIX, the conversion tables are not in MQ. What we're looking for is for the operating system to handle that. So if you don't have your conversion tables up to date on the operating system, you could have problems with the MQ if you're doing data conversion. Again, in this scenario, the customer is going 37 to 5026, and since there is no conversion table between 37 and 5026, this is the reason that this channel failed. The resolution on page 19, please turn there, you will see that what they had to do was put an intermediate queue manager between the two. So we had to create a queue manager on another, well, it could have been on the same server, but we created on the mainframe a queue manager with 5035 because iSeries can handle 37 to 5035, and then 5035 can go to 5026 without any problem. So in some scenarios, you will have to implement that type of solution for your environment. Next slide, number 20, please. This is another for the same scenario. We did have one issue, additional issue that came up with this, and that is when we implemented what we call a server requester channel pair to help resolve this customer original issue. But what we found is that we had another problem that whoever initiated, even though the iSeries can't handle 37 to 5026, we discovered that mainframe can handle 5026 to 37. So in a sender requester channel pair, you can start the channels from either side. And we discovered a problem in on the mainframe side that they were rejecting or telling us that, oh, we can do this. We did put out a what we refer to as a user mod or early fix, but the customer had already implemented their workaround and didn't want to change their environment. So at this point, we haven't had any additional customers asked about this user mod, so we don't have the final solution for it. Slide number 21, please. Okay. What gets converted? When you are working between two queue managers, what is the channel protocol? We're going to convert your user data, your character data. But again, as Blanche mentioned earlier, we do not convert the message description, the message ID,
Coral
ID, or the accounting token. If you wish for that to be converted, you have to write your own conversion. And most of our customers, what they use to do that is use the ICON-V API, and that's pretty consistent across all platforms as the API to do data conversion. You can find more information about that on TechNote 700-5729, which is called the data conversion. And this is a white paper of ours that even has more information about this topic. Slide number 22, please. Customer scenario 3, Windows to iSeries. In this scenario, we are going from a queue manager that has a CSID of 437, which is very common for the Windows platform. What I've seen is customers either use 437 or 819, but the majority are using ASCII 437. And on the iSeries, they've created their queue manager to have a CFID of 500, which for iSeries is unusual. Normally when I see a CFID of 500, it's because that particular server is probably going to communicate with VOS or a mainframe. In this case, they were having problems with the particular characters, the straight bar, left, the right square bracket, and the exclamation point not being converted properly. Slide number 23, please. Yes, 23. The solution for them, since they were going, they wanted to these characters to be converted in a particular way, was either to change the queue manager on the iSeries to be 37, or they would have to create their own channel exit program. We have a tech note on this. There are certain characters between code page 37 and 500 that have different code points. And if you look at page 24, or slide 24, what we have here, and Blanche can talk more about this. I don't know how good this will be seen on the screen here, but when you print out the handout, it should display to you properly. How about we just go to this one?
I think you.
Please go to slide 25. To get a better idea of what we're referring to, here are the different code points and the characters and their hex representation or their code point representation of when you're going between these particular CSIDs that you may not see the conversion as you expected. And again, we do have a tech note item on this, and the tech note number is 1207860, and it is in your handout, so if you're trying to write this down, we've already got it documented for you.
Okay. I'll just speak to this slide here on 25 on what we call the common problem code points. And this is a fairly common problem that we see going from 437 to either 37 and 500. And 500 is the default on ZOS if you have QMCCSID equals zero. And if that's never been changed, if you haven't set it to anything else, then the default's going to be 500. And what normally happens is all the character data will be translated as expected, except for these seven characters here. And you can see an example here of the CSID 437 is in Little Indian, and the CSID 37 is in Big Indian, and you'll notice that there's a byte swap. The ABLE 5 is the 5 ABLE, and the FOX 5 is 5 FOX. But then you move over onto the CSID 500, which is Big Indian, but it's a total different code point. And which is what the chart is on the previous page on 24, but it's difficult to see here. So what happens is people come in and say, my exclamation point is not being converted properly if you're using CSID 500, because that would be the data conversion would be saying, okay, you have an ABLE 5 and the equivalent to coming in as 437, the exclamation point is an ABLE 5, and for 500, it's a 4-5. And again, an example would be also what you would see then, that 4-5 on the exclamation point for 437 is now a straight bar, which is the FOX 4 on CSID 437 and the 4-FOX 37. So on the 437 to 500, you'll have these seven characters that will be different, and especially between 37 and 500 are both EBCDIC, but there are these character differences. And so people would either, something as Karen said previously, you could either change the queue manager CCSID to the CSID that you need, or you could write a channel exit. So the one caveat as far as just changing your CSID at the queue manager level from 500 to 37, because that's commonly what people do, or just to be sure that you're not affecting any applications that are expecting the CSID of 37.
Okay, we'll give it back to Karen.
Slide number 26, please. In this scenario, as you can see, we had a Sun Solaris, ZOS, Windows client, all coming into another ZOS with a CSID, the Q-Manager had a CSID of 500. And the problem was messages being put to the ZOS queue with a CSID of 819 are processed properly by the getting application, the Windows application in this case. However, messages put by the ZOS queue manager with a CSID of 500 are not converted by the getting application. And slide number 27, please. The solution was what we discovered, and sometimes the only way we discover this is just to get a trace of it, but what we discovered is that the customer did not, on the ZOS queue manager with 500, when they put the message, forgot to put format string. And this is what Blanche was referencing previously when she was discussing the MD, that by default, the format is none. So if you have character data and you don't specify MQ format string, then the conversion is not going to happen. And if the conversion doesn't happen, then when the getting application goes to get it, it's not in the data that it is, the format or layout that it expects. So once the customer specifies format string on the putting application, that resolved the problem. We talked more about the different the format strings that you can specify in the Webster MQ application programming reference. But the main one that we see is you can create your own format, but if you like, but the main one that you need to always specify is the MQ format underscore string for whatever language, RPG, COBOL, ILA, C if you're on the iSeries, and even in Java to specify the format string for the data conversion. Slide number 28, please. This is just more information about the message character being converted, more talk discussion about the format string. We've already discussed pretty much this, but we wanted to just make sure you had these additional notes in your handout. Slide number 29, please. You want to say
something? No, I think this here was slide 29 again is that we're going to pick up the default CCSID of the queue manager unless you specifically put a CCSID that you want there. In the talking about data conversion, the recommendation is that we do the conversion on the MQ get, that we would use the MQ get message options convert. And the reason being is you can do convert equals yes on the channel, and we will do the as part of the message channel agent, as he gets the message off the queue, we'll do the data conversion. But in cases where you're doing in bullet three there, the reason we recommend the MQ get at the final destination with the GMO convert is because the message can hop through different platforms along the way. So if you say convert equals yes, and it goes through like 437, then 37, it might, you know, it would do its conversion and then go on, say, back to 437 or to some other, like 819. You may not get the data as you're expecting it because it would have been converted twice, once on each hop. So if you want your data to arrive at its final destination in the form that it needs to be at, then we recommend that you do the MQ get when you actually do the get with convert. Okay.
Slide number 30, please. This is our final scenario, scenario number 5. And in this scenario, you have iSeries as a sender and the receivers are on a tandem and a Windows platform. And you'll note that the tandem is at CSID, queue manager is 1089, Windows is at 1256, and on the iSeries, the queue manager is 420. 20. In this case, this is for a customer who was converting Arabic characters. And one character in particular, which we actually had to actually look up in the Unicode manual to figure out what it was a Lam Aleph. And I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but you read it and you can try. The character was not being converted properly from 420 to 1089 nor 1256. And if you go to page 31, please. Thank you. The solution was, what we discovered was that the conversion is not going to happen. A lot of times, and sometimes it can be by trial and error, a lot of characters don't exist in other code pages, so you can't do or handle the conversion. And in this case, this particular character did not exist in the code page 1089 or in 1256. So what will happen is we will get back a what the operating system refers to as a substitution character. In this case, it was a one able. In some scenarios, I've seen three fox or one fox. If it doesn't know what character it is or it can't handle it, it just kind of gives you whatever it expects it to be. It guessed best. So the customer would eventually, in this case, they would have to write their own conversion table or create their own conversion table for this particular character or their own exit, I should say. Please turn to slide number 32. This is a slide, if you do find that you have a data conversion problem, here's some of the things that we need or that you could just use as a checklist to determine where the problem is. It's very important for us to have a real clear understanding of the environment regarding the data conversion. The MQ level, for example, right now I think some of our servers were at MQ 6022 is the highest bit pack level. The OS level, Q Manager CSID, the sender channel, if you're setting the convert option or not. If you're not using the channels to perform the conversion on your pudding application, we need to know what CSID you're specifying and if the format is set. If you're on the getting application, what is the CSID being used for the convert? And if are you specifying MQ GMO convert? And if all of that still checks out and you still have a problem, what we like to see is a snapshot of before and after. What's the message look like before it was sent across and then what it looks like after it was sent to the target queue manager. And you can use, in the handout, a few slides later, you can use the AMQF browse program, which is very helpful because what it does is it dumps out not only the message ID and the CORAL ID, but it will also dump out the CSID and what the data looks like, which will give us a pretty good snapshot of the data. And we also have a tech note regarding data conversion and what you need to gather and how to send the data to us. And that tech note number is 1176955. Please turn to slide 33. We won't go through each one of these, but we did want to make sure that you were aware. We've listed out several of the common IBM tech notes that we have regarding data conversion. When you have an opportunity, please go look at them if you have the opportunity. Slide number 34, please. And those are some additional tech notes for you. Slide number 35. Here you have several what we refer to as useful links, of course, the Westware MQ support. Even though it's a System I manual, I have the globalization manual as part of being on the team, but everybody comes no matter what platform to get my book on globalization, and now some of the pages are actually falling out, and the team refuses to let me get a new one because everybody's written notes in my book. But here's the link to the globalization manual. It is a System I book, but The Globalization Center, which is based in California and in Toronto, they pretty much handle everything for all the different IBM platforms, and they do their best to be consistent across the VOS, iSeries, and AIX as far as how they handle the code pages or the CSIDs. So that information is good pretty much for, you know, multiple platforms. And that's the link to that. Even though we didn't talk about Unicode, Blanche and I hope, it won't be this year, but we hope to do another presentation for you next year specific to Unicode. But if you do have a question, please please ask us, and if we can, we'll definitely address that for you. For different code sets and code pages, if you want to look at, you know, what's on or what's in these different code pages, here's a very helpful link. And one thing we did not talk about as far as terms was conversion versus translation. Does terms get used interchangeably? But with the way things have changed in the industry, conversion is going from one CSID to another CSID, changing from one character to another. Translation is when we're talking about going across English to Spanish, Spanish to Portuguese. And we've had customers come in and ask us, why didn't we actually translate data? And that can get a little confusing, because then we have to explain we're not a translator. We will convert the data from one character to another, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate the way that you want. But what we've given you here are two links that we find very useful, that if you are and you need translation assistance, that these sites have been very helpful to us. Slide number 36, please. And here is where we were talking about useful tools. One of the most helpful tools to us is the RFHUtil tool. It is part of our support pack. This is a really good tool when you're doing testing, because then you can put data in different CSIDs to see how it will be handled by the target queue manager or the receiving queue manager. We use it a great deal here. Even though this is a broker support pack, the main thing we care about is the RFHUtil and the RFHUtilC, which is if you want to connect to the server as a client. And there's the IBM TechNote number for you if you're interested. You can pull that down and, you know, have fun with it at your leisure. And again, the sample programs that we were talking about before, and in regards to problem determination, to get a before and after snapshot of your message if you find that the checklist, everything is set up correctly, is AMQ SDCG for the distributed platforms, Windows and Unix. And on the iSeries is AMQ SDCG4. And so, and in the following slides, page slide number 37, please. You'll see an example of it. This is from the iSeries. And you'll note that there is a problem, or when the getting program goes to get this particular message, it should have a problem because the format is blank. So we wanted to show you an example of that. This tool will show you what the format setting is, what the CSID is, message ID, Coral ID, who put the message. Slide number 38, please. And also the putting application name. A lot of times customers will tell us that, I don't know who's putting this data because it's coming from multiple places. So when we use this program, we can get an idea of where the message is coming from and kind of backtrack it to figure out what's going on. And you'll also notice toward the bottom there that the data is, you'll see the hex representation of the data. And in the catch-all off to the right, what the data represents. In this case, I was putting a message with Java, so that's why the data looks the way it does. Slide number 39, please. We also put an example of what ZOS uses to browse the samples, and I'll let Blanche talk about ZOS.
Right. And what we have is actually a support pack, MA17, which you can find on our website. And basically it gives you a browse sample with using a panel, in the panel. But you can also use the sample program similar to the AMQS BCG that ZOS has a form of that also, which can be found in the sample programs can be found in the WebSphere MQ application programming guide. We go to slide 40, please. And as you can see, it's a similar output. This is the output from MA17. It's similar to what Karen has. It's part of what you get back on the display on the panel. You'll see the queue manager name, the queue name, and but again, down to the message descriptor, you'll see the message type, which is just a datagram, and we'll have the encoding and the coded character set or the CCS ID. In this case, we were using 37 in the format MQSTR for saying that this is MQ format string. We go to slide 41. The documentation that is helpful for data conversion issues are the commands manual, the application programming reference, which will give you, it talks about data conversion, and also it gives you the information as far as the MQMD, the with the header, and the MQPut and MQGet, what's needed to for data conversion. Next is the application programming guide. Again, it has the samples for browse, get, and put, and also it gives you information on if you need to. Several times we talked about writing a data conversion exit, so it has information there about writing data conversion exits. The intercommunication guide, again, is, has some useful information in the WebSphere MQ conversion document, which is the tech note. And again, we've listed here the individual manuals, but also from our website, if you can go to our the MQ Info Center, and you'll have access to all of that material as well. So slide 42. These are some of the CSIDs that we talked about today. Okay, when you actually have the presentation, when you look at it, you should actually be able to click on the different CSIDs, and it'll take you to a table so you can see what the particular code page looks like. We go to slide 43. And in summary, we just wanted a few points. I mean, again, Karen talked about the difference between conversion and translation, although in most documents that you see out there, they use them synonymously. The CSID and the encoding on the importance of what CSID you use, and the encoding, again, the part of the encoding that we're concerned about is the Big Endian and Little Endian. And then we have the links to the tech notes previously mentioned, and also the to our data conversion document as well. There are a couple things in summary. I'd like to just point out the common things in some of the scenarios that we pointed out here were some fairly common scenarios that we see when people call in with data conversion problems. And one of the easiest things as far as what you can check on is, you know, do you have MQFNT underscore string if you're expecting MQ to do the data conversion for you? And again, this is just for character data. And the other is, you know, are you using convert equals yes on the channel? Is it specified on the channel? Or preferably you're using the MQGMO underscore convert to convert on the actual MQGet.
Okay, so, and with that, slide number 44, please. With that, we've come to the end of our presentation. And now, if you have any questions for Blanche or myself, we'll be more than happy to address them.
And we have a question from Bharat Patel.
Hello. We have had a problem with the conversion of a registered symbol, the R, from a workstation to the etcetera on the mainframe. We were getting two characters when it got converted. And how to resolve that problem?
So it sounds like are you using Unicode?
Yeah.
Like 1208 or 1200 or?
The register symbol was converted as 62 AF in a hex on the acetic side.
What PFID are you using?
819 on the...
That's on X. The sending queue manager?
Yeah, sending queue manager.
And what's the receiving queue manager?
500. And the user application, you know, they're asking us why, what's the problem, how can they fix it. I think they're using XML header with their message they're sending.
Well, 819, the register symbol is...
500, it's 9.
Okay, well, we don't have copage 819 in front of us, but on copage 500, the hex or the call point is a... Able Fox for the register symbol. What is it on 819 for you?
We don't know. We haven't trapped the message on their side. It just, when we receive it on the ZOS, it's 62A Fox. We can see that in the data.
Yeah. So the queue manager on the mainframe is 500, but when you're getting it on the mainframe side, you're getting it with a Unicode CTIF?
You're getting two hex characters.
It's CSN A Fox, which is part of it, so it's going. So yeah, but what is the getting application doing? Is it getting with another CSID?
No. It just gets as a channel conversion from the sender side.
Understood.
They're not doing a get with convert option.
So when you say you see 62 Fox, Able Fox, that's confusing to us because that's not a 500 call point. So I'm just trying to make sure I understand or have the right picture of your environment.
The two characters we see in the message, 62 followed by A Fox.
So the one byte's becoming two bytes?
Right.
Okay.
But that's how the register symbol, that's how it come across, but it's an XML message with an XML header. But we want to receive it as a one character, not two characters.
Or just the Able Fox.
Just Able Fox. But when it's passed...
Mm-hmm.
We receive two. I mean, it's... They're bugging us as to how to fix this.
We
asked them to look at the XML header that, you know, with the UTF.
So they're using like UTF-8, like 1208?
UTF-8. We don't know. We're not getting an answer from them what they're using in XML header.
Okay. So they might have another header in here, like a... An RFH header or some other header, possibly. But I guess maybe we could just maybe open a PMR, and you know, and we can work with you.
All right.
Because I think that might be the best, so we can try to understand. Because it almost sounds like we're doing maybe some kind of Unicode conversion, going from one byte to two bytes, possibly.
That's what. We concluded, but we don't know what to do about it.
Right. Definitely open a PMR to us. What is the sending platform? Is that AIX and Solaris? What is it?
I'm not sure. It's a Unix platform, one of them. But
okay, then open the PMR on the ZOS side.
Right.
And
okay.
Blanche and I would definitely see it that way, since that's our team.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Brian Allison.
Hello, Brian.
Good morning, or afternoon now. Just to comment on that last caller, we had the same thing happen on our system. They were using a .NET application, and it was really on the application side. There wasn't any MQ could do about it. They had to make some change in the type of coding that they were doing. It was a single byte versus double byte type stuff they were sending. I don't know a whole lot more about that. But my question really had to do with where do we find code pages on specific platforms?
One of the links that we gave to you, it was on slide number... hold on a second, and I'll give you the slide number.
35?
It's the one with the useful links.
Yeah, that's 35.
Yeah, where we have character set and code page encoding.
Yes.
If you go there, you will see all kinds of code pages and even ones you've never heard of before.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Juana Zagara.
Hi. I have a configuration in the iSeries, and I am using server connection channel in the server side. And I want to know if I can do the conversion from ABCDIC to UTF-8 in my side, or it has to be done in the client side. Hello?
I'm listening.
Yeah.
So your application is putting the data as what?
It's putting, I am using a CSS i37.
37, okay.
Yeah. So in my side, everything is okay, but I want to know if when I send the information to the client, I can send it as a UTF-8 so they don't have to convert it to UTF-8.
Well, the iSeries platform, it will support UTF-8, so, I mean, the client can put a message with UTF-8, which is CSIT, it's a Unicode CSIT.
Uh-huh.
I think that's 1208 that you're referring to?
Yeah. So it means I will have to work with the UTF-8?
Well, the way I understood your question is if you wanted to put data to the iSeries as UTF-8, could you? And the answer would be yes.
But I want to put the information in the client side as a UTF-8.
You mean like a conversion table or?
Because what happened is that in the definition, you said that that the server connection channel I cannot put conversion, yes. Is that right?
Right, because you said that the channel definition that you're using was a server con.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I cannot put conversion, yes, in that parameter.
Right. So you have a client coming into your iSeries box.
Yes.
That client application, when they're putting the message, has to specify what CSID they want to put the data as. And then when the message is put on the iSeries and you have the getting application, whether it's COBOL, RPG, or C,
mm-hmm.
They can get it. If it doesn't require them to convert, then they can handle it the way it is. Or if you need them to convert, you know, they can specify GMO. But as far as the client coming in, they just need, on the putting application, it needs to specify the CSID that you're putting the data as. And if it's UTF-8 or 1200, you need to set that field.
Okay. Okay, so it works. That's when I am receiving the information. So when I am sending back the information.
When you're sending back, that would mean that the client is coming into the iSeries to perform a GET operation.
Yeah.
And if the data is the way that you want, the CSID field will get loaded, but you can also, if you want to convert it back to something else because the data is going maybe to another platform,
yes.
You would have to do it on the GET operation. You would have to specify GMO_convert.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And while we're waiting, I wanted to go back to the gentleman that asked about the code pages and where he could find them. On slide number 35, you have the link to the System I Globalization. If you go to that page as well, IBM, that's taking you to the Globalization IBM homepage, and we list all of the IBM code pages that we've ever used or that we're going to use. So they're all out there as well. So those first, the System-I Globalization link and the character set and code pages are two good websites to find the code pages and their the code point hex representation for your data. Thank you.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Web Series Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Karen and Blanche, for presenting today.
You're very welcome.